who belong to him. Yonder is what Jesus spoke of. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Tell your neighbor, heaven is a real place. Heaven is our destination. Heaven is our eternal home. We're living for Jesus because we know this earth is only temporal. The problem, the situations of this life are only for a short moment. But there's going to come a day when we are going to be taken out of this world. And we will spend eternity. We will spend everlasting life in the presence of the Lord. So come on, encourage your neighbor and tell him we all going up yonder. One day. Hallelujah. And we thank God for preparing the way for us. Amen. Lift your hands in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you and we honor you, Lord Jesus. We thank you so much because, Lord, even as you've gone to prayer place for us, we're thankful that as sure as you went away, you're coming again and you're going to receive us unto yourself. And we thank you, Lord, that we, God, even as we see that great day approaching, all the more, Lord, we prepare our hearts. We become all the more sober and vigilant, that we can stand ready, that when you call us home, that we'll be ready to come unto you. And hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So Father, we thank you for that. And we bless you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts today from the word of God. Holy Spirit, would you make the scriptures clear? Would you give us understanding? And would you help us to not just hear the word, but to be doers of it? We love you, Lord, and we thank you. And it's in Jesus Christ's wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, bless the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. I'm excited about the fact that we are one day going up yonder to be with our Lord. Amen. If that don't get your wood burning, then tell somebody your wood is wet. Because I'm excited about heaven. I'm excited about heaven. The older I get and progress, I'm not really that old, but the older that I get, the things of this world just don't have the same value. Things that I thought was important really are not yet important anymore. Things that I really, you know, struggled and tried to gain and obtain, you really begin to understand it's really not that important or valuable, because the things that are eternal become more and more a reality as we move and mature in the Lord. And so I'm thankful for that reminder. Thank God for the choir giving us that reminder that we're going up yonder. So wear the garments of this world very loosely and don't look at your problems too seriously, because one day it's going to all be over. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord, and we thank God for his mercy and his grace on today. Again, we're thankful to be in the house of God, and we appreciate all of you, the Lord's people who are also here. And we want to thank God for the entrance of his word. And today we're going to move expeditiously through the word of God, because we want to try to culminate and complete the subject that we've been covering over the past few months regarding being boundary defenders. And I want to continue to stir up your pure faith and help you to be reminded that that's what we're called to be. And if you don't know anything else, I know you know more than this, but God has called us, as I've said before, to be those watchmen on the wall of the word. We got to stand upon the wall of the word, as even as he told Ezekiel, and we got to warn the wicked. And we have to be those examples of Christ's likeness so that we can be the light of the world that God called us to be, the salt of the earth. And remember, saints, that's what we're called to. We're not called just to have fire insurance so that we are saved and we are shouting and have a good time inside the four walls of the church. No, God wants us to be that light that shines in the midst of darkness. He wants us, again, to stick out like that sore thumb on somebody who smashed their hand, and so that you can see a difference between what is holy and unholy. There should be a distinction in our lives between that which is clean and unclean, that which is righteous and unrighteous, and that is what the world is looking for, whether you believe it or not. If we as God's people start blending in with the world, then we are in trouble. You're supposed to be different. You're supposed to, again, stand out in a crowd. You're not supposed to blend in with wicked people. You're not supposed to be comfortable sitting in the seat of the scornful, standing in the way of sinners. You know, you're not supposed to be, again, comfortable in that particular area because you are different. And people shouldn't be so comfortable around you in terms of being able to just continue in sin, you know, because there is an anointing upon your life. There is a distinction upon your life. And this anointing, whether you know it or not, when you say, well, I don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. I don't want to offend nobody. No, it's the offense. Not the willful offense, but it's the offense of the word that actually pricks their conscience and causes them to know, I need to change. I need to change. And so whenever light hits your darkened eyes, it's offensive. But once your eyes get adjusted, don't you thank God for the light? You thank God for the light. You don't want it to be dark all the time. But when we were in sin, we didn't have a choice. We were in darkness. The light stayed off. We didn't have no light shining in our souls. But God used different servants or agents of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his word, to bring us the light of the word of God. Because I don't know about anybody else. The guy that preached Jesus Christ to me, I got dogmatically mad in him. I got fighting mad in him. I was very offended by what he said. He had the unmitigated gall to tell me that if I didn't get saved, I was going to hell. That's what he told me. Little young Harold Cohn, y'all know him, Pastor Harold Cohn. And I was, you know, about 18 years old, freshman at UNCG. And I mean, he told me flat out. He said, man, where will you spend eternity? And I was like, I ain't never really gave it that much thought, you know. But he told me, he said, man, don't you know if you don't accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you will go to hell. And I got mad. Fighting man, how you gonna tell me that I'm a sinner? I know I was a sinner, but I didn't want him telling me I was one. I knew it, but I didn't want him to tell me. And so I was upset about that, and I was angry. And I mean, I got so angry during that little concourse of him sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, me telling me that Jesus loved me, telling me that God had a plan for my life, telling me that, you know, if I didn't get to know him and accept him as my Lord and Savior, that hell was gonna be my eternal resting place. I cursed him out. Y'all think jigaboo was a bad word. I said a lot more choice words than that. Cause I wasn't saved then. I mean, I was up and down. But then after I calmed down, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and conviction fell on me. And I was wondering, what in the world am I doing? You tripping? Why are you, you know, going off on this guy? Cause I told you I was full of the devil. And so, you know, and the Lord convicted my heart. My point is, light is offensive. The truth is offensive. It's offensive, and it's going to always be offensive to some. So you and I cannot, again, take away or try to modify or compromise or change the word of God to make a person feel comfortable. Because in doing so, you will cease to be light. We'll cease to be light. We'll cease to be the actual salt that God causes us to be. And so live your life righteously. Live your life according to God's standard and be who you are called to be. And as you're that, and as we're being, God will do the work in the lives of people. Amen. So we just want to remind you that we're boundary defenders. And so we got to hold the boundary that God has established in the word of God. And that is our mandate in scripture, that we are not just to, again, casually blend in or comfortably, you know, move about in our day to day life and not, again, remember that we are light in the midst of darkness. We're salt in the earth. We're watchmen on the wall. We ought to cry out and spare not. We got to warn people of the destruction that they're on. God said, that's your mandate. The world don't know that they are perishing. God says, you as righteous men and women have to warn them of the way they're taken. It's just like I've said in time past. If I'm driving down the highway and I recognize the bridge is out and there's no sign, again, telling somebody that, you know, the bridge is out, and I've discovered that, for me to turn and then go back the other direction and not warn anybody else who's speeding down that highway, that would be, again, what would be called negligent, not just negligent, but it would also be criminally negligent. I could be charged criminally for not warning them of the danger that I knew existed. And so it's the same way with us spiritually. God says, yes, I'm going to hold you accountable. as my people because I've given you the light. I've given you the truth. I've revealed myself to you, and it is your mandate to now teach and proclaim and be light to others. Now, does that mean you run around, you need to get saved, you're going to hell? No, that's not what it means. Don't mean you run around telling everybody you're wrong and you're in sin, all this kind of stuff. But it does mean that you live a life that is light, that's truth. And as God gives you opportunity, then you share with people the love of God. And when you see someone sinning, as the Bible says, they can sin a sin that's unto death. You got to warn them. When you see a man or a woman who's going astray, that you warn them and that you tell them about the love of God. And remember, it's not your responsibility whether or not they get saved. It's your responsibility to deliver the mail. It's not the mailman's responsibility whether or not I go to the mailbox and get my mail out of the mailbox, open it and read it and do anything with it. The mailman just has to deliver the mail. And that's all you got to do. You just got to deliver the message. That's all you got to do. What the person does with the message is up to them. So we do that. And so this is what we're reminding you. Just stirring up your pure faith that we don't get, caught up in all the things that's going on and forget what our main mandate is, because Jesus did tell us go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he tells us to make disciples of all men, teaching them what we're being taught, all right, and helping them to come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're dealing with in this Boundary Defenders message. I'm not going to go back and give you all the foundation. I'm not going to read them, but here they are. Of course, we gave you Deuteronomy 19:14, Proverbs 22:28 as the foundational scriptures as to why the old saints and the fathers and the elders told them not to remove the ancient landmarks. And as we've said beforehand, we see these things happening in the day that we're living in. We see ancient landmarks of truth, of, again, the principles of God's word that's being modified. And so you got to remember, saints, that those of you look at, any of you ought to study eschatology. Now, for those who don't know what eschatology means, that's just simply a word that means, again, what's going to happen in the end times or last day. Eschatology. And so eschatology through scripture tells us we're living in the day that Paul preached about, about 15 to 1600 years ago, when he wrote the letter to Timothy, and as John the Revelator got his revelation from Jesus Christ regarding the book of Revelations, we're living in that day right now. We're in the Laodicean church age that's spoken of over there in the book of Revelations 4. That's the day that we're living in. We're living in a day of compromise. And the compromise is not just something that's going on in individual people's lives. It's worldwide. It's a worldwide ideology and phenomenon. What used to be clearly black and white is not black and white anymore. It's not clear. What used to be firm and solid and accepted as truth and error is not like that anymore. That's what is known as compromise. There's a blending. There is a blending of, again, the lines of righteousness and unrighteousness. And God said in his word, there's going to come a day when people will call right wrong. And they're going to call wrong right. They're going to call evil good and good evil. We're living in a day now that, like I said, if I communicate to you that God loves you and that there is one way to be saved and, again, to go to heaven, then that's considered hate speech. Because what that's considered by the world is that you're narrow-minded. And there are so many other religions. There's so many different beliefs out there. And how are you going to tell people that there's only one way to get to God? And there's only one way that we can, again, be pleasing to God. And so that's considered now, that my speech would be considered hate speech or unrighteous talk. Because you're narrow-minded. And so the ideology of the day is what is known as more liberalism. The acceptance of many different, what people call truths, many different ideologies. And now let's blend these together and everybody come up with their own truth. Everybody come up with the God that they want to serve. Everybody come up with the idea that this is the God that I serve and this God is this way and allows me to do what I want to do and the way I want to do it. And so that's the time we're living in. And so Paul speaks about that and he tells us that these days are coming. And when you read this, I don't have time to turn over there to 2 Timothy, but if you read it in your spare time, Paul says there's going to come a day when we as God's people, the people of God, the people who are in the church, are not going to endure sound doctrine. There's going to come a day, and he speaks about this over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, this is what we're going, this is what we're dealing with. This know also that in the last days, I mean verse 1 of 2 Timothy 3, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He says, from such, turn away. And many of us can look around and you can see people like that. And you can also look in your own life and begin to assess, if you will do an assessment as James tells us to do, to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith, just like men. We go get prostate checks every year when we get above 40 to make sure we're not having anything cancerous in our bodies, and you get other physicals as I'm doing right now. And then you got women, you do your little mammograms and you check your breasts for different, you know, lumps and things of this nature. You do preventive maintenance again for on your body and in your cars and other things like that. Again, James tells us you got to examine yourself. You got to do a self checkup to make sure you're in the faith, because there's coming a day, the times that we're living in, you can easily be swept away in the spirit that's in this world that will literally take you away from the things of God. And you can be one, if you're not examining yourself, that can find out that you love yourself more than you love God. You can love your, do you not know that you can love more than one thing? I mean, I hope you all really recognize that, the undertruth of it. You can love more than one thing. You see, and so God says there's no problem with you loving other things. He just says don't love them more than me. But there's coming a day that we're living in that people love themselves more than they love God. See, I think more of myself when I decide that I'm going to do something different than what God says. Now, what I'm really saying to God is I think more of myself than I think of you. I think more of myself. I think this is what I'm going to do, and what you said, I don't really think much of that. And whether you know it or not, the ideology of the day, the spirit of the day, is slowly indoctrinating that type of ideology and mindset into most people. Just like Satan did in the beginning when he tricked Eve into eating of the forbidden fruit. Did God say? God don't really mean what he said. God's not going to do what he said. Those are the three mindsets that he introduced to Eve. Subtly, he made her doubt what God said. He made her disregard what God said. Then he flat out calls her to disobey what God said. And if you and I are not careful, that is the same spirit that is at work in the day that we're living in. God says, come to church, don't forsake assembling yourself together, man of some is. Well, you know, I'm tired. Well, you know, I got to work. Well, you know, I got this going on. Well, you know, I'm going to plan this. I got to do this. And the Sunday's only I can do it on. So therefore, that's when I'm going to do it. And therefore, I think more of myself than what I think what God says. God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Let me meet my house. But I got bills. But I got things to take care of. I got things that I want to do. I want to go on a vacation. I want to buy me this. I want to do that. If we're not careful, we can easily, and I'm just giving you some examples. It's even the same way in your personal life. It's so easy to begin to compromise. And the ideology of the day says, God understands. And God understands. And then there are even churches that are popping up all around the nation. Huge churches that's drawing major crowds that agrees. Come when you want to. Live the way you want to. Do what you want to. Just as long as you show up every once in a while and give your offering and do whatever the case is, but we really don't care about anything else. That is just like going to a doctor, getting your blood work, and the doctor see your blood pressure high, Your cholesterol is out the roof. Your weight is above where it should be. You, again, got all these other issues going on. And he telling you, you know what? You got a clean bill of health. Go ahead and keep on doing exactly what you're doing. But make sure you come back here and get your physicals. Because I'm afraid if I tell you what's really going on, you're going to stop coming to my practice. So I'm going to tell you what you want to hear so you keep coming to me. That is really what's going on in the hour that we're living in a lot of churches. And this is what I've said in the past, and I'll say it again. Paul talks about this. There are doctrines of demons. He said there are literally people, the same way we're spirit-filled. He said, do you not know that Satan has agents? He has agents that represent him, and they are demonically influenced. And they appear as angels of light, but in reality, they are agents of Satan, and they're going to tell you what you want to hear. Remember this, and I'll get to the point in just a minute. Remember, the deception of the enemy is not going to be that he's just going to stand up with a pitchfork and horns and a red tail, be red and say, I'm the devil. That's not the deception of the enemy. The deception of the enemy is this, is he can present truth in such a way that causes you and I to compromise. He introduces enough compromise, enough error, enough heresy, and makes the message of Christ about us more so than about what God says. That is what you got to remember in the day that we're living in, that the ideology of this day as God's people is that we have to fight against the temptation that we don't put ourselves above God. Because everything in America is for us. Convenience, what I like, what I want, the way I want it. And if I don't like it, if I don't agree with it, if I don't think it's good, if I don't like the way we worship, I don't like the times, I don't like the sound, I don't like, you know, that it's loud, I don't like that it's too soft, I don't like a lot of things. And we start introducing our own opinions and our own ideologies into what God's word says. And we start putting our own thoughts into God's way of worship. And we begin to say, well, you know what? I don't like it this way. So I'm going to choose to go to another place. That's America. That's the Americanized mentality. I don't like Burger King, go to McDonald's. I don't like McDonald's, go to Wendy's. I don't like Wendy's, I go to Hardee's. I don't like Hardee's, I'll go to a Fat Burger. I don't go to Fat Burgers, I go to, you know, other place. You got all these choices. But God says, you know what? That's not your choice when it comes down to my word. But if you're not careful, then there are doctrines of demons that's being advertised all over social media, all in society, all over, that says, come on over here. We do it to your liking. We do it to the way you like it. And the way you like it, hey, it's okay. So sin, live any way you want to live, dishonor God, disobey, don't matter. We ain't going to talk about nothing like that. We ain't going to talk about none of that. We ain't going to talk about sin. We ain't going to talk about hell. We ain't going to talk about anything that has to do with anything going wrong in your life. We ain't going to talk about none of that. We're just going to tell you seven ways of prosperity. We're going to tell you how to get blessed. We're going to tell you how you can overcome. We're going to tell you how wonderful you are. We're just going to tell you all the good news that you want to hear. Just keep coming to this big crowd or whatever. Just come, small crowd. Just keep coming. We're not going to deal with any issues. And as I've said before, how can I talk about heaven, not talk about hell? How can I talk about the blessings of God and not talk about the curses of God? How can I tell you God loves you and not tell you God hates sin and hates wicked and hates evil? How can I tell you that God is going, again, to have an eternal rest in place for those who accept Christ and not tell the man who doesn't accept Christ that there is an eternal damnation waiting on him? There's no way I can do that without compromising. I can't. There's no way I can. And so this is why Paul says, I am the servant of Christ. And I'm not called to please men. I'm called to please Christ. And this is what we got to hold, because we're living in this hour. And if we're not careful, it's all in the media, it's all on the news, it's all in the programs, it's in so many facets. And this is why we're being so indoctrinated. It's in the air. And you have to be deliberate in how you fight against this spirit that's in this day. If you're casual, if you're casual in your Christian walk, you're going to be swept away without even knowing you're swept away. Those of you ought to go to the beach, y'all know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been to the beach, you can get in a rip current without even knowing that the rip current is present. Because you want to know why? It's underground. It's under the water. And you 1 minute out there playing around, jumping. Water's right here by your, you know, it's right here by your knees. And you out there, just having a great old time. And all of a sudden, a wave comes, hits you, because I've been in it, hits you, takes you, first of all, it hits you, knocks you back, takes you over, pulls you under. And when you try to come up, you come to find out, I can't come up. Can't come up. Because I'm in a current that now has me in its flow. It has me in its flow. And in order to get out of that flow, I can't fight against it. I gotta swim horizontally to get away from it to then come up. You see, it's the same way. I don't know why I'm saying all this, but the Spirit of God led me this way. It's the same way spiritually. That you have to be, in other words, you have to be deliberate and know what to do in order to come out of a rip current. And you got to be strong enough. You got to have enough spiritual or what I call physical endurance to swim out of it to then come up the same way spiritually. The day that we're living in, you're going to have to be spiritually discerning enough. You're going to have to be strong enough to see what's going on, to see the tide that is overtaking many of the believers, and number one, either not to get caught up in it, or if I'm in it, this is what I must do deliberately to get out of it. I gotta swim the opposite way, and I gotta swim again to come out of this. And this is why we're teaching you and helping you to understand, this is what we're called to be. We're watchmen. We're watchmen. We don't compromise. We don't change God's word. We don't start altering truth. We don't modify what God has said and what God's ways. So with that, we've been dealing with this. So y'all know it. We've been dealing with these things. I've given you several scriptures. And so with that, let's go on and get into this. We gave you landmarks, things that we got to defend, things we got to defend. Because things, these are things that's being changed, not just personally, but it's being changed politically. The media is pushing these ideologies. And remember, as I said before, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Everything coming through the media outlets is under the control of Satan. Most things coming down by policies from our federal government is, again, we got two different parties, Democrats, Republicans. And a lot of times, you got to remember, these men, that's why we got to pray for our leaders, men and women who make policies can be influenced by the enemy. And so when you see policies that's being passed down and when they become law, then that becomes even more of the actual platform for Satan to push his agenda, because now it becomes law. And when it becomes law, even though, listen, saints, even though something becomes law in the land, doesn't mean that it's law as it relates to God's word. All right, so we dealt with this. We dealt with the landmark of gender. We said every man is a man, every woman is a woman, the way God created them from the beginning. Amen? I'm not going back to deal with that. We dealt with it in great detail. We said the landmark of life. We understand that God gives life. He's the giver of life, and no person has the right to take a life, whether it's in the womb or whether it's outside of the womb in terms of murder. Now, during times of war, when you're in the military and you're serving your country, then you understand during times of war and when you're under the actual government or the armed forces, then that's not considered murder. That's considered, again, what is called defense of your country in a time of war. Then that's not murder. That's you defending your rights and the freedom. So I'm talking about, but murder is that when you willfully and intentionally take the life of someone, whether it was malicious, whether it was, again, thought out or whatever, and that also being the unborn, especially the unborn in our country, because we as America, we have a lot of blood on our hands. As the American people, because we abort more children in America than in any other nation in the world. We abort more children. And some of you all know, as I've talked to you and I've said this in the past, that we as African Americans, we make up about 8% of the population, but we are the ones responsible for 38% of the abortions in America. And that's why our race right now is not only standing still, but it's on a decline. We're on a path, if something doesn't change, that we will be obsolete in the next 50 years as a nation, as a people, because we're killing our babies. We abort more. All right. There's 4,000 babies aborted every single day here in America. 38% of those aborted are from black people. African-American women aborting 38% of their babies. Then at the same time, in our communities, we're killing one another. There is a self-hatred that we have for one another. There's a self-hatred where we hate one another. And our young men are killing one another in the streets, killing one another. So we're not being born. And then those who are born are being killed in the streets at alarming rates. And those who are not being killed are being incarcerated. So we got three different ills that's working against the African-American male in this society. And to add insult to that one, to add to that particular dynamic as to why our race is not growing, then we are now dealing with this, the area of the sexual intimacy. We have homosexuality that has now blown up and is prevalent in our particular culture, where now you got men chasing men. Men can't reproduce with another man. Two men can't reproduce. Two men can't have a baby. So you see why that our race, large and small, is not growing at all? Because of the ideology. And this was all introduced by Margaret Sanger, the one who started Planned Parenthood. And this is why we stand on the landmark of life. We don't abort our children. A child is not a mistake. A child is not an inconvenience. A child is not something that you just, oh, well, I didn't, whatever. And then, you know, and then I know different people go through different things. We talked about that, about, you know, from rape and from incest and all kind of things of this nature. And that's horrible. And I hate it for any woman or any person that's ever gone through something like that. But what I say is, don't add insult to that injury by aborting the child. Because the fruit of the womb is the Lord's reward. Even if you don't want the child or don't feel like you can raise it, then give the child up for adoption. There are many, many parents and people who are looking for children to adopt. And that's another part of what we do as black Americans, African Americans. We don't adopt either. We abort, but we don't adopt. And so these are ills, and these are things that we have to cry out. We got to cry out about and stand upon the landmark of life. Because these are things that's hurting our culture and our communities. If you really pay attention to see what's going on, there is this demonic assault. And so the landmark of marriage is the third one we dealt with. And we talked about marriage being between one man and one woman. One man and one woman. One man and one woman. All right. And not between two women, two men. All right. Between one man and one woman, because that's the way God ordained it from the very beginning. And we cannot change God's mandate. Landmark of life was Jeremiah 1:5. I gave you that in the past. He told Jeremiah before, I formed thee in the womb. I knew you. And listen, scientific research. And this is something you'll find out if you do. If any of y'all that go to school, you study, you see that science always eventually catches up with the truth of God's word. It's just reality. What God says is true. Science, again, at one point in time, science and the Bible worked hand in hand. They were, again, together, synonymous, because science proved what God had said. But then there came a time when there were these anti-Christ, anti-biblical scientists to try to disprove what God said, but only in time find out that what God said is true. And it runs parallel with the Bible. And so science even proves that from the time the egg is fertilized by that sperm, that particular being, human being in the womb, has a soul. Emotions, again, are there immediately. There is intellect. There is intelligence. There is a specific design, because that's the way God ordained it. Glory to God. I get excited every time I think about it. I'm so glad my mama didn't abort me. Y'all don't recognize, I'm the last one in my family. Number 8. I don't know if I was planned or not. I just don't know. I'm serious. I don't know if I was planned. I don't know. But I do know that 7 would have been enough, possibly. Number 8, that could have been like a slip up. We weren't planning for this one. So therefore, let's just, I am so glad that they had a different mindset in that day. But in the day that we're living in, the ideology, remember, abortion is fashionable. It is so accepted. It is so just commonplace. I get knocked up. Okay, I go take care of it. Just go take care of it. It's a mindset. It's an ideology, but it is contrary to God's word. So I just encourage women of God of Unity Worship Center that listen, you stand firm on the word of God. And men as well. Men, if you hope you don't impregnate nobody outside of wedlock or whatever the case is, or even in your marriage. Listen, but don't compound that with another great sin of committing murder, because that right there, again, is something that God does not condone. Amen. And as I said in the past, you've done that in the past. Of course, ask God to forgive you. He forgives you and you move forward. But we want to be advocates of life. Amen. We're advocates of marriage between one man and one woman. As we've said beforehand, we ain't marrying no two women here. We ain't marrying no two men. It ain't happening. It ain't happening as long as I'm the pastor of Unity Worship Center. It ain't happening on no level and nowhere. You as an elder in this church, you better not even think about marrying two women or two men anywhere in this nation or in this world, or your license will be revoked. Our church, our national church, doesn't condone that. Our jurisdictional church don't condone that. Your local church and your pastor does not condone that, because God's word does not condone it. So don't think that that's going to change with all this liberal ideology. Well, Pastor, these two, they just really love each other. The wisdom of this world is sensual. It's evil. It is, again, contrary. So you can't go by feelings. We go by what God says. I don't try to alter what God says. I don't try to alter that. I don't try to, like, Mel's a plumber. Some people know about electricity. I don't try to question, to be honest with you. I don't try to question, why do we need a 220 instead of a 110 for this particular thing? I think I'll put a 220 in this 110 line right here. See, I don't question that. I don't question the laws of electricity. I don't question the laws of gravity and water and all that. I just know they are what they are. And they are to be respected and obeyed. I don't understand all of it, even though I feel like putting a 220 on a 110. I can feel that way. I can think it's okay. But in reality, I'm going to blow something up. I'm going to burn something up. And anybody in that particular, I will blow it up. Because we've done that before. I've been, piddling around, messing with houses and stuff, and didn't have a real electrician in there. You don't mess around and put, we don't mess around and put two 110s on thinking we didn't know it was a 110 here and a 110 in this leg. We done connected it together, and we had 220 volts going to a 110 outlet. And every time I put my saw in there and put my saw in, that thing was running. I said, good God, there's sparks flying out of that saw. I said, good God, what in the world? I said, I take it out of that and put it in the bottom one. I was like, whoa, what in the world is going on here? I didn't understand the problem. Like, what is happening? Why is this saw? I think it was the saw. Till I called the electrician. Licensed electrician. Licensed. Certified electrician. Came in and says, here's your problem. You got 110 on this leg. You got 110 on this leg. You put both of these legs together and run them to a 110 outlet. He said, you're about to blow something up. You're going to blow something up, and you're going to cause a fire, and it's going to burn this whole house down. I suggest you stop allowing people who are not licensed and certified to mess with your electricity, because you're going to mess around and burn your whole house down. My suggestion to you, God's people, is for you to stop allowing people who are not licensed, authorized, anointed, and following God's word to introduce to you ideologies that's going to mess around and blow your life up, set you on fire, and have you in hell. I'll suggest you strongly stop doing that, because that is what the world is introducing. Just put these two ideologies together, put these two mindsets together, put these two thoughts together, put these feelings together, and now let's all just get along. You're going to mess around, and God's going to set you on fire, because you're violating the law of God, the word of God. This is why we stand upon God's word. You see what I'm saying? All right. Then we said the landmark of sexual intimacy. One man, one woman. All right. Sexual intimacy, single men, single women don't have sex till you get married. Oh, it got quiet up in this sanctified church. Sanctified church. I thought there was a holiness church. I thought there was a sanctified church. I thought there was a tongue talking, foot stomping, hand clapping, Bible quoting. Okay. But why did y'all get quiet on that one? Sexual intimacy. Sex is reserved for marriage. If you can't wait till you get married to have sex, then get married. That's a simple solution. If First Corinthians 7, if you cannot stop having sex, then get married. Because that little thrill is going to mess around and cause you to miss God's will for your life. You're going to mess around and end up in hell because of a thrill. Do what God said. Like I tell people, if you like chocolate milk, then pay for the milk. Just pay for the milk. Just pay for it. If you like it, then pay for it. If you don't want to pay for it, then stop trying to drink it. That's the bottom line. If you don't want to pay for it, then why are you trying to drink it? You're trying to, oh, I'm going to steal this milk. I'm going to get this milk. So you're going to violate God's word and try to sneak and hide and cover up and all this kind of stuff and live in sin and think that God don't see? Are you crazy? The eyes of the Lord in every place beholding the good and the evil. He sees everything. And he says, now for those of you who want to fornicate, God says, now read it for yourself, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7. It's all in there. He said, now when you do this one sin you commit. When you fornicate, and that means it's not just between men and women. Fornication covers all areas of sex. Homosexuality, lesbianism, it deals with pornography. It deals with people who want to lay down with animals. It deals with laying with the dead. It deals with any type of sexual sin that there is, any type of sexual behavior. Fornication covers all of it. So he says, now this is one area in your life. If you commit this type of sin, God said it's going to show up in your body. He said it's going to show up in your body. It will show up. It's going to show up in your body. Unwanted pregnancy, unplanned pregnancy is going to be some type of disease. It's going to be some type of problem that's going to show up in your body. And God says it's going to come in your lifetime because you are going to pay the price in your body for this sin right here. I can't even tell you the number of horror stories that we've heard and the research that's been done about the homosexuality behavior and what the problems. You don't understand the AIDS wards and the different people who are dying of this deadly disease because men laying with men as they do with women. God says in Romans chapter 1, he said they will receive in their body the due consequence of that particular behavior. Because God said it's perverse, it's twisted, it should not be so. And so we don't, you know, like I said, I mean, I don't hate nobody. I ain't got no problem with anybody. But I got to say what God says. I got to say what God says. And so, therefore, I say to men and women, you can't lay with a man the way you lay. I mean, man, you can't lay with another man the way you lay with a woman. And woman, you can't lay with another woman the way you lay with a man. That is perverse. It's against God's word. And God says this, the consequence is going to show up in your body. And so, this is why we preach the landmark of sexual intimacy. Sex is reserved for marriage. If you want to have sex, get married. Y'all don't like what I'm saying up in this church. I feel a tomato spirit coming from the saints. A tomato spirit. Y'all want to throw a tomato at the pastor. I'm telling you the truth. Then we said the landmark of salvation. We dealt with that last week. Landmark of salvation that, listen, there's only one way to be saved. That's through Jesus Christ. You got to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Saints, many roads don't lead to heaven. It's only one road to heaven. That is the word of God through Jesus Christ. Salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. Peter says there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. We dealt with that in great detail last week. Now, 5 minutes, I'm going to try to give you this right here. Well, I'm not going to finish it. Y'all done messed me up again. You done it again. I can't finish this. But the last landmark number 6 that we must defend is the landmark of the word of God. This is the landmark. The word of God is the final rule and authority. Saints, if you don't get this down in your life, my wife and I made this decision almost 23 years ago. We've been married 25 years, but we made this decision about 2 years into our marriage. The word of God will be the final rule and authority for governing our lives. We ain't trying to figure out how to be married. We ain't trying to figure out how to live. We ain't trying to figure out how to make this thing work. God ain't never designed us to try to figure out. He's given us clear instructions from the Word of God. God says, do it my way, you'll be just fine. If you will do things my way, if you do it according to my word, you're going to be just fine. We decided, after bumping our heads for about 2 years in marriage, that we're going to do things according to God's word. We're not going to just try to figure this out. We're not going to go about what we've seen with our parents. We're not going to try to go about what we see other people doing. We're going to search the scriptures. We're going to stay in church. We're going to hear the word of God. We're under anointed teacher. He's preaching the word of God. They're offering classes. They're offering seminars. They're offering CDs. They got so many resources. There's books out there. We said we are going to look at what God's word said, and we're going to do it God's way. Ever since we made that decision, our marriage, our money, our morals, everything has just been going up, 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 up. Once we made that decision, not anything mystical, not something supernatural, just God says, you're going to do it my way or you are not. And if you don't do it my way, look at all the curses that's coming upon your life. Read Deuteronomy 28 in your own spare time. He lists about 14 blessings that comes from obeying God. But boy, it's about double the curses that come for disobeying. When I read that, I said, okay, I see what you're saying, Lord. I think I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to do it your way, not my way, because I see all the curses that come when we try to deviate from doing things your way. And so the landmark of the word of God is so important for us as God's people, because the day we're living in, people are literally trying to change the truth of scripture. And people are saying that this holy Bible, the holy Bible, it ain't just a Bible, the holy, separated, set apart, sanctified, consecrated, infallible, inerrant, authoritative truth of God's word is outdated and antiquated. They will ridicule you for believing what this book says. They're going to tell you that you are crazy, you are weak, you are simple-minded, you are stupid, in other words, if you believe what this Bible says. That's what the quote-unquote wisdom of the world, the wise people of this day, says, that this right here is outdated, antiquated. You shouldn't even be looking at it. That was written. We don't even know who wrote it. We don't know how many years ago. We don't know who changed all that. You hear all that. It's all been changed. This happened. All this kind of stuff. So therefore, how you going to trust this right here? How you going to trust it? See, they try to introduce the same doubt, the same disregard, the same disobedience that the enemy introduced in the beginning to Eve. See, you hear about all that when you go to college. You hear about that when you run up on a Muslim or somebody of the Islamic faith. You hear about all that when you got these little 5%ers and stuff trying to convince you that this is not the truth of God's word. And people from other religions and Jehovah's Witnesses and all this kind of stuff, they try to alter and change it. But tell somebody, this is the infallible, inerrant, authoritative, God-inspired word of the living God. There ain't no other book like this on the planet. There ain't no other book like this that gives life. There is no other truth that is absolute truth than the Holy Bible. No other book will give you life like this book. No other book speaks to you and, again, breathes in you life like this book right here. This is God in written form, and God's word is forever settled in heaven. What do you mean by that? I got to give it to you. I got to give it to you. Go with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, real quick. It's on the scripture I'm going to give. We got to continue this one more time. Y'all done messed me up. One more time. Psalm 19. Let's go there real quick. Because this is good. Saints, you got to listen. This ain't your coaster. This is the word of God. This ain't no little prop for your coffee table or your couch. You better get this word out and get it in you. You better not, as my wife has said so often, you better not be ignorant on purpose. Don't be ignorant on purpose. Don't be ignorant on purpose. You got to get this word, because the only thing that's going to keep you in this hour is the word of God. The only thing that's going to keep you grounded is the word of God. This is why, Lord willing, next month, go to Psalm 19, verse 7. Next month, I'm going to start a series on biblical doctrine. So we are clear on what we believe. what we believe, why we believe it, and understand the purpose in which we stand. Because what I'm finding out is that people can love God but not know God. They can have an emotional feeling about God but really don't know God. And that's what we deal with a lot of time in church. We got people that's got, they got an emotional feeling, and they got this feeling about God, and they feel good about God, but they really just don't know Him. They don't know Him. And the reason why they don't know Him, because they don't read the Word. They don't study. They don't come to church. They don't stay under the Word. They don't get in the Word. They don't allow the Word to get in them. And so they're left to come up with an idea about God for themselves, not knowing that God says, but this is not who I am. I don't allow these things. I don't, again, agree with these things. So we got to get to know God for ourselves. Look what the Bible says here. Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect. Testimony, no error. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. That means it's a firm foundation. You can stand upon it. Making the wise simple. How many of y'all remember you were simple? Simple Simon. Did that offend anybody? I was once Simple Simon. I'm talking about me. Because I was just as stupid as I could be in sin. I didn't know which way was left or right. I didn't know. Because I was simple as it relates to truth, as it relates to knowing God and the truth. So it says, this word is sure, it'll make the wise simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You want to really have some joy in your heart? Start doing what the word of God says. Start doing what God's word says. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It'll help you to see. It'll help you to be a better decision maker. Enlightening means it'll give you mental discernment to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it. It will literally cause a light bulb to come on so you understand what you didn't understand. Some of you in relationships, some of you doing things, some of you are messing up stuff in your own family, in your own job, and in your own relationships. You're messing them up yourself because you just don't understand. You just don't see the error of your way. The word of God, though, will turn the light bulb on, help you to see. I'm doing this. I'm the one messing this up. I'm the one wrong. I'm the one. In other words, have you ever been in a situation where there's a problem and confusion, and finally you come to find out you're the confusion? come to find out, you know, people say, well, it's just the people I hang around. Next time, it's the people I hang around, it's the company I keep. That's what your mama say. It's the company. It ain't really him. It's the company. You come to find out, no, he's the company. He's the company. He's the problem in the midst of all the others. That is him. And so the word of the Lord will help you to understand what's right. Look what it says. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, much fine gold. Sweeter than also the honey and the comb. In other words, he's letting you understand, if you're going to desire anything, he said, desire God's word. If you're going to hold anything in high esteem, hold the word of God in the highest esteem. If you're going to pursue anything, pursue God's word more so than anything. You know, you got careers, we got college degrees, all this kind of stuff. And that's great. That's fine and great. But you better not pursue that more than you're pursuing what God said. You better not be allowing the wisdom of this world to dictate you more than what God's word is. You got to listen, God's word is the priority. That's why you make a choice to hear it, read it, meditate upon it, believe it, and then practice it, because it's your life. What it says here. Moreover, he says, verse 11, by them is thy servant warned, and keeping of them there is great reward. God warns you by the word. You ain't got to wonder, what the Lord say? I heard a dream last night. I saw a spirit come in my room. I saw a vision. Yeah. And all this mess. I sensed, I felt, woo. A spirit brushed my foot. What did that mean? I saw a star run across the sky. What's that mean? I saw a white horse and a black horse in the field. What's that mean? All this crazy stuff. I saw a number. Should I play it? Are you crazy? Are you absolutely out of your mind? I'm saying this facetiously, but listen. Look what the Bible says. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, If you want to know what to do, you want to know how to make right decision, God says, read the word. The word of God is going to warn you. Don't do that. Don't go there. That's crazy. That's going to get you hurt. That's because you're going to lose a lot right there. God's word just warns you. It's a warning mechanism. It'll show you what to do and what not to do. The word of God will give you some sense and tell you, you know what? That don't make sense. I better leave him alone. I better stop doing this. Better stop doing that. This is a problem. You don't need somebody to tell you or prophesy to you or slap you full of oil and grease you up and tell you this is your destiny. Now, if that happens, that's fine and good. But it's got to line up with God's word. The reason why people are so moved by this mystical, spiritual, what thus says the Lord, is most of the time because they're not reading what thus says the Lord. They're not doing what thus says the Lord. They don't understand what thus says the Lord. So they'd rather you or somebody else that's considered spiritual tell me what thus says the Lord. Because I'm not disciplined enough to read the word, do the word, study the word. So I just want you to throw me a pitch where I can hit a home run. Bow, and have a home run spiritual life. But I have no discipline to practice. I have no discipline to do what I'm supposed to do. The word of God, if you will get into it, read it, study it, meditate on it, and practice it, will give you a lot of good sense. I got to close out. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. The word of God will show you what's in your heart. I don't know my own heart. I don't know how wicked and crazy my mind is. The word of God lets me know. You think you okay? You think you all right? You think you're a good person? You think everything great in your life? You think this? God says you're naked, you're wretched, and you're unclean. I'm thinking I'm clothed. I'm thinking I'm full. I'm thinking everything's good. God says when I look at you, you're wretched. You're naked. You're unclean. You're filthy. I need to wash you. The word shows you that. Your mama, your grandma, your daddy, your brother, your cousin. Oh, you all right? Everything's okay. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, okay. Just keep doing that. Because they love you and love covers your sin. But God's word says, you're not right. You're wrong. Turn, change, because this is the way you should walk in. Because the word of God does that. The word shows me my faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. So it lets us know what the word of God does. The word of God keeps me from doing things that are presumptuous. I presume I can do this and God's going to be okay with it. I presume I can have a wife and a girlfriend. I presume that I can have a boyfriend, you know, and you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, women, and a husband. Presume I can just do this and do that. God says, no, no, no. The word of God, if you read it, will tell you, help you to understand, presumptuous sins are not covered under the blood. That's over there in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. You presume, in other words, you know it's wrong, you're just going to do it anyway. You presume it ain't no consequence coming. You presume that God ain't going to do anything about it. He says, now when you willfully sin like that, there remains no longer a sacrifice for that sin. And this is how, I'm closing out, this is how, as people of God, in other words, it won't send you to hell, but get your life cut short. Get your life cut short. Because God says, when you presume to sin, you presume to keep doing something that you know is wrong, keep on doing it, God says, now what I'm going to have to do, since you have chosen to continually disobey me in this area, I'm gonna have to shelf you. I'm gonna just take you off the scene and put you on the shelf because I can see you're not gonna change. You're not gonna change. And this is why Paul writes about if you see them sinning a sin that's unto death, he said, you better warn them. In other words, they're presuming to keep doing something that God, they know is wrong. It's gonna cut their life short. It'll cut their life short. And this is why we tell children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Children better understand this, no matter your age, obey your parents, because he says it'll go well with you and it'll prolong your days on the earth. So these are things you understand. What tells us these things? The word of God. So let's stand to our feet and I'm finished. I didn't get to a quarter of the stuff I was going, but so we got to cover this, finish it. But I just want to give you that y'all asked all those questions. Y'all did it. It wasn't me. Y'all ask too many questions and all that good stuff. But I'm saying we stand upon the word of God. Amen. The word of God is infallible. It's inerrant. You can trust it. You can depend on it. You can base your life on it. Come on, deacons. You can, I mean, the word of God. Saints, I just want to admonish you. Get into the word. Study that word. Stay in the house of God. Don't get caught up in the sway of this day that we're living in. Get this CD. Listen to it. Get this, because I believe I was speaking by the Spirit of God and some things. So you got to get the CD and hear what the Spirit of God is saying, because we're living in this hour that we got to be very, very vigilant, knowing what God's word said and staying firm in what he has instructed us to do. And so those who obey, blessings. You can expect blessings. Those who choose to disobey, you can expect some problems in your life. That's just reality. That's reality. I haven't seen a person yet who can willfully disobey God's word and things go well with him. It ain't happening. But I can also say this. I haven't seen a person yet who obey God's word and God forsakes them, or God don't bless them. It ain't gonna happen. It can't happen. It goes against God's word. And God cannot lie. Obedience brings blessings. Disobedience brings curses. That's just reality. Don't let anybody tell you different, because God's word doesn't tell you anything different. So as we choose to obey God's word.